Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tamid Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Chof Ches. You will notice a framed section, Tanya. This Gemara will be introducing a Tanaic source, but we're coming on the heels of that which we learned at the tail end of our previous year, that there was a very high level of, high level of adherence to proper protocol and regimen, insofar as even regarding falling asleep against one's will, in other words, where sleep overtakes someone, because of extreme fatigue, in the case of the guards guarding the Beis HaMikdash, if they were found to have fallen asleep on the job, they would have been subjected to pretty severe punishment, as we had learned during the previous shiur. With that in mind, we have a Tanaic sourced, Rabbi Omer. Ezo hi derech yeshora shiyovor loy ha'adam. What is a proper way of life that a person should choose for himself? Ehov esetochochos. A person should love chastisement. Shekolzman shetochochos ba'olam. As long as there is tochocha, chastisement, correction in the world. Nachas ruach ba'ol olam. So there is a spirit of pleasantry in the world. In other words, the Almighty is pleased that people are trying to correct their ways, and that there are those that are overseeing this in trying to correct each other's ways. Toivo ubrocha bo'in l'olam. And as a result of this, we also have goodness and plenty coming to the world. V'ro mistalekes min olam. And evil and that which is bad leaves the world. Shenemar v'la mo chichim yin'om v'aleim tovoi b'ruchas toiv. This, parenthetically, we can mention is a very far cry from the approach taken by modern society of live and let live. You mind your own business, and I'll mind my own business. And ish ayosher beinov yaseh. And as a result, we oftentimes find ourselves in situations that we find less than pleasant and less than the experience of joy and plenty. The source continues, V'yeshomrim yachzik be'emuno yesera, that a person, in choosing the proper path of life, he should choose the path in which he conducts himself with extreme honesty in his business dealings. Shenemar einai be'ne'emnei eretz losheves imodi. The Almighty proclaims that my eyes are upon those that are very honest, that they will dwell with me. Omar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar Rabbi Yonason, Kol hamochiach es chaveru l'shem shamayim. Anyone who corrects, chastises his friend with pure motives, zoche l'chelko shel kodesh baruch hu, he will merit the portion of the Almighty. Shenemar mochiach adam acharai, he who corrects others, who chastises others, with pure intention, of course, he will follow me. A person like that has literally the thread of kindness drawn over his face. In other words, he will be perceived as someone that's pleasant. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, over there you'll notice this quote comes from the same Pasuk we just started. It says, Chein yimtza mimachlik lashon, that pleasantry will be found in those who speak up in hopes of correcting the ways of others. But we can't emphasize enough how this may be true only if one is conducting himself with pure motives. Now we go back to a quote from the Mishnah, Motzoi No'ul Yodea V'chulei, and it goes on to say in the Mishnah, Mishu Rotze Litrom Esam Esbeach, the issue of the early morning ash removal from the Mizbeach fireplace, which we call the Trumas Hadeshen. Ha'gufa Kashya, the Mishnah has what seems to be an inherent contradiction. Amris, on the one hand, it says, Mishu Roitze Litrom Esam Esbeach, he who wants to, on his who decides that he wants to remove the early morning ash, Mashkin V'toivel Ad Shelo Yavo HaMumuna, he would hasten to immerse himself, purify himself before the one in charge of the Beis HaMikdash activities would arrive. Alma, so we see from this, La B'payis Talia Milsa, the decision who would perform this action was not dependent on pious. Pious often is translated as a drawing of lots. The concept of pious in the Beis HaMikdash was a, we'll call it a method in which people were chosen to perform various activities. So we'll use a very a loose translation referring to method of choosing. So that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, when you read the opening section here, the choice of who would do the Trumas Hadeshen, the early morning ash removal, was not dependent on a certain method of choice, but rather he who wanted to do it would get up and do it. The Hadar Tani, but then it says in our same Mishnah, it says Yavo V'yafayis, that he who wanted to do the Trumas Hadeshen would come for the pious, for the choosing method. Alma b'pious talya milsa. So you see from this that it is dependent on the pious. So we see a seeming internal contradiction. In order to resolve this, we have a couple of approaches, and we've highlighted them with diamonds. You can see Abaye here in a diamond, and a number of lines later directly underneath Rava. Omar Abaye, Lo Kashya, Rabbi's answer, one to resolve the contradiction, he says, there is no contradiction, Kan Kodem Takona, Kan Li'achar Takona. The two sections of the Mishnah are a reflection of two different time periods. One was before a special measure was taken, one was an earlier time period, and the pious is a reference to after they made an enactment, a takona, a rabbinic enactment, the snan. And here we have the source that points this out. Barishona, originally, komi shiroitze litrumas mizbeach, anyone who wanted to do the trumas hadeshen, toreim, would go ahead and do it. Bizman Shehein Merubin, if there were a lot of people that wanted to do it, Rotsin Vayulin Bekevish, they would run onto the ramp leading up to the top of the Mizbeach. Kol HaKodem Es Chavero Besoch Arba Amos Zochav, anyone who would arrive at the 4 Amma mark before the top of the Mizbeach, so it was a type of relay race, and the first one to reach that mark 4 amas before the top, he would merit the role of Trumas Hadeshen. Hoyu Shnayim Shovin, if two arrived at that point simultaneously, HaMemuna Omer Lohem Hatzbiu, the Memuna, the appointed one, the overseer, would say Hatzbiu. This was a method of their sticking out their fingers, and a high number was chosen, and they would go back and forth, counting back and forth, and the number on upon whose finger it ended, he would be the one chosen. Uma hein motzien, and what would they stick out by way of fingers? Achas o shtayim, they would stick out one or two fingers. The ein motzien gudol b'mikdash, and they would not extend their thumb though in this maisa. There was an incident. Shoven, there was an incident that there was a they were running shoven rotsin va'olim bekevish. They were running up the ramp. The dochaf echod mehen es chavero v'nishbro raglo, and one pushed the other, and he broke his leg. Ukshero based in shoboimli deisakana. When the court saw that this whole race approach could lead to danger, hiskinu. Well, we've dashed underline hiskinu shaloyu tormen es amizbech elav apayas. That the choice of who would do the Shulman Sedeshin would be determined only through the pious method. So what's the point over here? We see an initial approach to things and then a later point in history approach to things. So the pious was characteristic of that which took place after the enactment. Rava Omar Idi V'idi Lachar Takona. The Mishnah is to be understood as both points referring to after the enactment, v'hochi kotoni, and thusly you are to learn the Mishnah. Mi shehu roitze, he who wants to do the Trumas edition. Mi shehu roitze lavo ulafayes, he who wants to come for the pious method of choosing. Mashke v'tovo achelo yavo hamemuna, he should wake up early, immerse himself in the mikveh before the appointed one, before the man of authority came, and he would be ready for the pious. So that, as far as Rava is concerned, there is no question to begin with regarding the Mishnah. Both the idea of roitze litrom and pious are referring to the same time period, the same individual. The Mishnah. Notal es hamafteach uposach es hapishpesh. He would take the key and open the small opening. V'nichnas mibeis hamoked lazora. He would go into the from the beis hamoked to the actual courtyard. V'nichnasu akoinim acharov, and the other kohanim would follow him. Ushtei avukos shel or biyodam. They had two torches, bearing in mind that we're dealing with the early hours of the dawn, if you will, pre-dawn hours, and they needed the avukos for light. So, just to review, the Mimuna opened the pishpesh, the small opening leading from the Beis Hamoked into the Azara. A group of Kohanim followed him. Nechliku l'shtei kitos. The Kohanim then split into two groups. What is going to be described now is the entrance to the Azara, and they would walk around the inner perimeter of the Azara, checking out that all the vessels necessary for the sacrificial activity were in place. All the vessels for the Beis HaMikdash activity were in place. So the Mishnah continues. Elu mahalchin bach sadra derech mizrach, v'elu mahalchin bach sadra derech marav. One group would take would walk. Bach sadra is a built structure, and at this point, before we learn the Gemara, it would be a wooden structure built with a type of overhang, with a type of canopy or roof over it, built around the inner perimeter of the Azara. So they would walk under this achsadra, one group walking in an easterly direction, and the other group in a westerly direction. Hoyboikin v'hochin ad shemagiyim l'mokoyim oise chavitin. They would continue their walk, their inspection around the inner perimeter until they got to the office of the Oise Chavitim. The Chavitim was a meal offering offered by the Kohen Gadol on a daily basis. So there was a place that this meal offering, these loaves were prepared. Higiu Elu V'Elu. The groups met at this point. Amru Shalom. Hakol Shalom. They would announce everything is fine, everything is in place. Hemidu Oise Chavitim. Lasos Chavitim. Those that were in charge of making the chavitim, this daily meal offering, was a baked offering. They were summoned to do their job. Mi shezocha litroim es hamizbeach hu yitroim. he who was chosen to do the true Sedeshen, he would do it. Veheim Omrim have a Zoyer Shalotiga Bekli at Shetekadesh Yodov Vraglov Minakior. And the others would tell him, be careful not to touch the vessels needed for this service until you sanctified your hands and legs from the kior. The kior was a tank that held water for this purpose, for washing of hands and legs, which was an act of sanctification, a necessary act before Avodas Beis HaMikdash were to take place. The machta was a pan for shoveling out the coals that constituted the Trumas Hadeshen. There was a machta. This pan was nesuna, was placed b'miktsoya in a corner bein hakevesh lamizbeach b'marovo shel kevesh, on the western side of the ramp, where the ramp went from north, from south to north. In a one walking up the ramp would be walking in a from south to north in a northerly direction. So on the western side of the ramp was the machta. Ein adam nichnas imoi. No one would go together with him, the one who was chosen for the Trumas Hadeshen. Right now he's on his way to fetch the pan. So no one would go with him, velo ner biodo, and he didn't walk with a source of illumination either. He didn't walk with a candle. Ela mahalich l'or hamarocha. His method of, or his source of light was from the altar's fireplace. The fire was burning all the time, and therefore it provided light for his walk. Lo hoyu royin oisoi, they didn't see him. Velo hoyu shoymin eskolo, and they didn't hear his they didn't hear any sounds from him. Ad shoyshoymin kol hoetz sheosa ben kotin muchni lekior. As we mentioned before, this the Kohen who needs to do the Trumas Hadeshen has to sanctify his hands and legs to as the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim from the water of the Kior. Now the Kior was a tank that was actually submerged underground, and that was done for the purpose of making sure that the water in the tank would not become posselbelina. If left overnight, the water would become unfit for its role. Therefore, there was a pulley arrangement made that would raise and lower this kior, and it would be risen through the pulley apparatus, which was something that was made by Ben Kotin. The muchni is this pulley apparatus, and it would make noise when the kior, when this water tank was raised from this submerged level. And when they heard that, Vehein Omrim Higia Eis Kiddush Yodov V'Raglov Min HaKior, then they would proclaim, oh, it's now the time for his Kiddush Yodov V'Raglov has arrived. Notal Machta Sakesef, he would take the silver pan, the Olo L'Rosh HaMizbeach, and then go up to the top of the Mizbeach with that, after, of course, after having done Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, Pinos Gelam Helich, he would move the coals from side to side. Pinos Gelam Helich V'Helich. Choyte Es Hamulcholos HaPnimios. He would then, let's say, dig out the inner consumed coals, and that would be in his pan. Yorad, he would descend. Higia l'ritzba, and after descending the ramp, he then reached the ground. Now, as he's walking down the ramp, he's walking in a southerly direction. When he reaches the bottom of the ramp, hofach ponov l'tzafon, he would then make a type of about face, meaning he would walk off the ramp and then turn 180 degrees and start walking northerly to the side of the ramp. That's holach b'mizrocha shel kevesh ke'esu amos. He would take from the very bottom of the ramp, he would then take this about face and walk 10 amos in a northerly direction. Tzavar esek yecholim al gabi haritzpa. He would then pile up the coals from the pan on the floor of the azora. Rochik min hakevesh shloishu tvachim. He was at this point, he was three handbreadths, three tvachim from the ramp itself. Mokom shenosnin muras ha'oif v'dishon mizbeach ha'panimi v'dishon ha'menorah. That same spot that he's piling up the coals from the top of the mizbeach, from the Trumas Hadeshen, was also used for the innards of bird offerings. That's the muras ha'oif. Those are the innards of the bird offerings. Dishon mizbeach ha'panimi was the coals cleaned off of the inner mizbeach, which was used for the incense, the daily incense offering. And the Dishon HaMenorah is the ashes left from the menorah, from the candelabra that was burning in the Beis HaMikdash. So the ash, this place, 10 amos from the southern edge of the ramp, three tvachim, three handbreadths to the east, was the same spot used for all of these different elements. Reference was made in the Mishnah, and in order to find this reference, we've provided a little, you'll notice we have a little star to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Omid Aleph. You'll look back there, you'll notice where this is, what this is referring to. There you'll find a parallel star indicating Omid Beis. Reference was made to the Azorah having achsadros in it. As we mentioned, the Azorah was delineated by a wall, and within the inner perimeter of the wall, it was suggested that there was an achsadra. And as we said, achsadra is a type of overhang that's a canopy built around the inner perimeter of the Azorah. And the assumption is that the achsadra was made of wood. Now, the Gemara asks a question, and the question lasts a number of lines. It takes in this Tanaic source. Umi have achsadros bazora. Was there a wood structure called an achsadra to begin with? V'ha Tanya. We have a Tanaic source that says, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Minayin Shein Oisin Achsadros Bazora, from where do we know that you are not to build this wooden canopy structure? Talmud Lomar, Lo Sita Lecho Ashiro Kol Eitz Eitzel Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. That is a pasuk, which literally means you shall not plant a tree near the Mizbeach of Hashem. Hochi Komar, Lo Sita Loch Ashiro, Lo Sita Loch Kol Eitz Eitzel Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. The understanding of this pasuk is twofold. One is, one shall not plant an Asherah, is a reference to a tree of idolatry. There's one prohibition of planting trees of idolatry, and a second prohibition of not having any wood, planting any trees near the Mizbeach of Hashem. And from the context of this Gemara, you see that the objection is to having any additional wooden structures. Term sita would appear to me not limited to a literal planting as such, but we know that the concept of netia is we find by structures as well, like nota ohalo we find in other places. He planted his tent, so that the word netia could be understood in a broad fashion. So in this context, it's a warning against having an achsadra made of wood in the Azorah, which was near the Mizbeach of Hashem. Omar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda answers, there was a canopy, however it wasn't made of wood. Bachsadro shel binyan, it was made of stone. Hayu bodkin v'holchin v'chule, and it said in the Mishnah that they reached the place that they would lasos chavitin, to the place that the Minchas Chavitin was prepared. Now, from the Mishnah, it seems that the Chavitin, this meal offering, was offered very early in the morning. So the Gemara asks, Lameimra, this question lasts a couple of lines. You can see we've supplied a long question marking. So the The Gemara asks, "Lemeimra de chavitin havu kadimi." Are we to understand that the chavitin were so early? Kadimi means something done very early. From the fact that the Mishnah says lasos chavitim, it sounds that they were now to be offered. Well, how can that be? V'hatanya, we have a source that says minayin she'ein dover kodim l'tomet shel shachar. From where do you know that nothing is to be offered before the daily tomid offering, which was a korban oila, which was a daily sheep offering? Tamid lomar v'orach oleha ha'oila. The Omar Rabba Ha'ola, he comments on this pasuk, the word Ha'ola equals Oila Rishona, that it was the first offering. So why do we get the impression from the Mishnah that the Chavitin, this Kohen Godol meal offering, was done so early, when the first thing to be offered was the Tomid Shel Shachar, was the daily Tomid offering? Omar of Yehuda, Lahochem Chamin L'Ravicha. The reference in the Mishnah to the Chavitin wasn't a reference to the actual offering of that sacrifice, of that meal offering, but rather it was an early morning boiling of the water, which was one of the ingredients necessary for the making of the Chavitin. So that what the Mishnah is telling us, that one is allowed to prepare the water, to be engaged in preparatory stages, however, not the actual offering on the Mizbeach of the Chavitin, but rather when the time came to offer them, after they offered the Tomid Shel Shachar, so then the Chavitin would be actually offered up. But as far as the preparatory stages, that could be done even earlier than the offering of the Tomid Shel Shachar. At this point, we continue now with the second perek of Maseches Tomid. Ra'u Echov Shiyorad, the other Kohanim saw, we're going back to the Trumas Hadeshen, they saw the Kohen who was in charge of the Trumas Hadeshen, he descended from the Mizbeach, he descended from the ramp. V'heim Rotzin Uboyim, they would hasten and come forth. The Kitchu Yudeim Raglayim Minakior, they would sanctify their hands and legs. It was a hand and leg washing from the Kior. Notlu Esamagrefois Vesatsinoros, they would take these different vessels. The names of the vessels are Magrefos and Sinoros. The Magrefa was a type of pan into which ash could be shoveled. And eventually, it was the ash was removed from the fireplace to a central point on the altar itself. Tsinoros were a fork-shaped vessel that was used for taking off limbs of sacrifices that were not completely burnt. So these other Kohanim gathered after the Trumas Hadeshen was removed. These other Kohanim would take these pans and forks, the Olu L'Rosh HaMizbeach, and arise to the top of the Mizbeach. Ho'evorim v'avdorim shelo nis'aklu mibo erev. All the limbs, the innards and limbs that were not consumed by the fire from the through the night. Sulkin oison al tzidei HaMizbeach. They would then remove these currently unburnt limbs that should have been burned. They would be removed to the sides of the Mizbeach. Im ein stodin machzikin, if the top edges didn't hold because of the lack of space, so sodrim oisam besovev, they would be positioned on the sovev, which was a type of rampart on the type on the upper half of the Mizbeach. If you would see a diagram of the Mizbeach, you would notice that it had a base that was very wide, and as you rose higher on the in the height of the Mizbeach, it would be inset a bit more. That was the sovev, and then eventually you would get to the very top of the Mizbeach. So that we're saying here that if there wasn't enough room on the edges of the top of the Mizbeach, the limbs could be removed to the Sovev. And likewise, the Al Hakevish. They could be removed to the to the ramp as well. What one should understand from this is that one is not to remove these limbs to the floor of the Mizbech, but it's basically to strive to keep them as high up as possible, that, and therefore if there isn't enough space on the edges of the top of the Mizbech, so that one had these options as well, the to place them on the Sovev or on the ramp. Hechelu malin be'efer agav tapuach. They then would start removing, after the unburnt limbs were cleared out of the way, they would then start removing the ash from the fireplace itself to put it on the tapuach. The tapuach was a mound of ash in the center of the Mizbeach. Tapuach hoya be'emtza Mizbeach, pomim shoyu olov kishlosh meos kur. There was a tapuach, which we mentioned, this mound of ash in the middle of the Mizbeach, and at times there was this vast quantity, 300 kur. Kur is a measure, so 300 kur measures of ash would at times appear, accumulate on the middle of the Mizbeach. Or begolim, on the holidays, lo hoyu medashnin oisoi, mitnei shehu noi lemizbeach. During the holidays, when there would be massive populations coming to the Mizbeach, so it would be a complimentary sign to the public to see all of the ash that accumulated, showing how many korbanos, how many sacrifices were being offered, so that they didn't remove they would allow the ash to accumulate. And loho medashnin is the process of removing the ash from the top of the Mizbeach, eventually on a daily basis, so the ash would eventually be removed. But on the holidays, they didn't remove the ash from the top of the Mizbeach, enabling a great amount to accumulate as to show the public how many sacrifices were being offered. And that's what the Mishnah goes on to say. Mipneshu noi lemizbeach. It was a sign. It was a pleasant sign. It was a pleasant, something pleasant to see. It was a beauty. It was something of a beautification to the mizbeach that so much ash had accumulated. Umiyomav lo nisatzel kakayim lo tzis adeshen. This is a continuation of the Mishnah at the top line of Daf Chavtes, and the Mishnah points out that Kohanim were never lazy in removing the ash, and that point is of significance here in so far as the idea that ash accumulated was not a function whatsoever of laziness, but rather what we said in order to show a sign of beautification. Hechelu malin begzirin l'sader samarocha. So after the ash was removed from the fireplace to the center of the Mizbeach, they then would bring logs or boards to the top. These boards would serve as fuel for the new day's sacrifices. Let's read that again. Hechelu malin begzirin l'sader es hamarocha. L'sader es hamarocha is to set up the fireplace. V'chi kol ha'etzim Sherim Lamarocha Hain. Were all kinds of woods suitable for fuel? So the Mishnah answers, Kol Ha'etzim Sherim Lamarocha, all wood is in fact suitable, Chutz Mishel Gefen Mishel Zayas, with the exception of vines, grapevine wood, and olive tree wood, so that called grape wood and olive wood would not be used. Avol be'elu hoyu regilim. However, the choice, that which they were regilim, is accustomed to using, in other words, the choice wood, b'murbios shel te'ena shel egoiz v'shel eitz shemen. The choice woods were from the fig or nut or the eitz shemen kind of tree. Those were the choicest type wood. They would burn without producing much smoke. Sider es hamarocha Gedola, Mizracha. They set up the large fireplace. There were a few Ma'arochos fireplaces on the top of the Mizbeach. There was, we'll call it the main, the large one for the purpose of burning sacrifices, and there was a Ma'aroch HaShnia that will be discussed later that was for the purpose of producing coals for the purpose of the inner Mizbeach, coals brought from the outer Mizbeach to the inner Mizbeach for the purpose of the Ktores, the incense. So right now we're describing the setting up of the Ma'aroch HaGedola, and it was set up Mizracha on the eastern side of the top of the Mizbeach, the Chazisa Mizracha. There was an opening in the wood facing east, so that the wind blowing in from the east to the easterly wind blowing through the Azara would help to fan the fires of this fireplace, of this Ma'arocha. The Roshei Gzirin Hapnimim Hoyu Noigin B'Tapuach, the inner edge of the boards would actually reach the tapuach which we mentioned before, the pile of ash in the center of the Mizbeach. V'revach hoya bein ha'gzirim, there was a space between the boards, shehayu matzisin es ha'alisa misham. The space between the boards was enabled them to light the kindling from that point. Biru misham atzeitein o'yofim, Sider es Hamarocha Shnia. They would choose the good quality wood, fig wood, but it's pointed out in the commentaries that the other choice woods would also be suitable, and they use this wood, Sider es Hamarocha Shnia Lekteres. They set up the second fireplace for the purpose of the ultimately for the purpose of the Ktores, but as we said before, for the production of coals that were taken from this Ma'aroch HaShnia into the inner Mizbeach, the golden Mizbeach that sat in, that was positioned in the Hechal for the daily Ktores offering. And where was this Ma'aroch HaShnia set up? Keneged Marovas Droimis, at the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, Moshuch minakeren klapei tzofon arba amos, drawn from the southwestern corner, four amos northerly. So there would, you would draw it, be drawn four amos north of the southwestern corner. Be'oimed chomesh soyim gecholim. Be'oimed means approximately. Very often this word you find spelled with an aleph, but it's the same point for us, meaning approximately, you would have enough wood to produce, in other words, the amount of wood was placed there in an approximate amount to produce enough wood to produce five sa'ah of coals. Ubishabis, on Shabbos, however, you needed more wood because the oimed shmoinis soim gicholim, with the hope of producing eight saw of coal. Why did you need more coal? Because, well, after removing the five saw for the ktoris, you still had to have coals remaining. Shisham hoyu noisnim shnei bozichei levoinis shalechem aponim. The two bozichim are receptacles that held the levonas, a type of incense that sat on a weekly basis together with the lechem aponim, with the 12 breads, the 12 loaves that are sometimes referred to as the 12 shoe breads that sat in the hechal of the Beis HaMikdash. So together with those loaves that were also eventually distributed amongst the Kohanim, there were two receptacles holding Lavona. And those two receptacles of Lavona, which was a type of incense, was eventually burnt on the outer Mizbeach in this Ma'aroch HaShnia, so that after, and that took place every Shabbos day, so that after five sa'ah of coals were removed for the Ktoros, you had to have some coals remaining for the burning of the Bozichei Lavona. Hoivorim v'apdorim shelo nisachlu mi bo'erev, the limbs and innards that had not burnt through the night, we had referred to them earlier. So machzirin oison l'marocha, they would be returned to the fireplace. Vatzisu shtei marochois v'esh, they would light the two fireplaces. Yardu ubo lahem lelishkas hagazus, and after this was done, they would then descend the mizbeach and arrive at the office known as the lishkas hagazus. With that, we conclude our siur for today.